incredible contemporary art gallery in Winnipeg, and I'm talking to the curator, Stephen Maticio. Is that correct, Stephen?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
And Stephen, what's the name of this gallery?
The name is Plug-In ICA, or Plug-In Institute of Contemporary Art.
Tell me in your own mind, what is contemporary art?
Sure. We're a non-collecting institution, so we have no permanent collection. So every show is a new one here. And contemporary art really, you know, if we go by time, it's something between the 80s and now. But I think contemporary art is something that deals with the very visual thing, a visual level, but also a conceptual level. There's that engagement, people trying to speak in contemporary languages about issues that are affecting people today. And I think that's what we're aiming for with contemporary art, and that's why it's always relevant, because artists are always saying something very interesting about today's society.
So are we talking a new language in human society with contemporary art?
I'd say very much so. I think artists are always evolving and always redefining themselves, and I think they're more so today than, say, 20 or 30 years ago. They're using the materials of every day. Art's less about traditional materials like painting and sculpture and drawing, even though they're very much still present. It's about artists looking out to the world, not art for art's sake anymore. Art's very engaged with the social and the political and the cultural spheres around it.
Now, I asked you a question a few minutes ago. I'm going to repeat it. You as curator and your relationship with the artist, especially in the exhibit I'm looking at now, are you mentor? Are you editor? Are you linguist? What is your role as the curator?
I'd say a little bit of all of the above, probably, but I think my main purpose as a curator is to really give the artist the platform that they need to speak to people. As a curator, you're more of a mediator, a liaison. You want to interpret the work, and you want to give people a point of access to it, but you also want to remove yourself and let the people engage with the artwork as directly as possible. As a curator, you don't want to be an artist. You just want to be a vehicle.
Okay, well, let's be a vehicle and move along a little bit here. And I'm just going to, now, I'm coming to a piece of work here that, at first glance, I think School of Andy Warhol, because I see the Coca-Cola image, and yet I see Lennon. Coca-Cola, it's the real thing, Lennon. Can you just tell me about this particular work?
This is a very interesting artist, probably one of the key artists in the show. His name is Alexander Kosolapov, and he was born in Moscow, and he was trained in their art system as a propaganda artist, even though they didn't call it that. So he was trained in making paintings about Lenin and Stalin and Marx, selling that socialist ideology to the people, but he became disillusioned with it, and he emigrated to Canada, or to New York, in 1975, and you see this collision of two propaganda systems, the socialist and the capitalist, and you see him mixing them up together. There's kind of this confusion, but also a lot of insight about how they're very similar in certain ways.
In all art forms, contemporary art maybe especially, because it is in many ways cutting edge, when is it propaganda and when is it not?
I guess it all depends on your definition of propaganda. And propaganda and advertising are similar in very many ways because they're directing you to a singular appraisal, to a singular way of thinking, whereas contemporary art wants to blow that up. It wants to fracture it and turn it into a mosaic where you'll have multiple interpretations and perspectives rather than that singular, very direct way of speaking to the people.
Okay, let's just move on down here because I see on the far wall a square white wall, and I see six square cubes, three in yellow tones and three in blue tones. And as we walk towards it, the colors seem to be taking on a new dimension. Can you talk to me about this piece of work?
Sure. This is a piece by Lewis Cameron, and your observations are very interesting. This is a work from the Color Bar series, as he calls it. And the inspiration for this is looking inside everyday box flaps, and you see the little color swatches on the inside of box flaps that dictate to factories what the color palette is for corporate brands. So this particular piece is Corona Extra, the popular Mexican beer. He's broken down the colors that appear in that logo and turned them into abstract easel paintings. And the concept behind abstract art was this extremely broad, open vista where colors could mean anything to anyone versus the corporate brand where the colors are very strategically chosen. So Lewis is mixing those two and trying to kind of capture our familiarity with a brand. We sense Corona in this when we look at it, but also in the language of abstract art, it blows up those colors and it allows them to play and to kind of, you know, let your imagination take them where you want them to go.
Like, I think he's deconstructing, but how does it deconstruct without becoming didactic?
That's always a challenge. I think Lewis doesn't say you should think about these colors in a certain way. It's really about the process of extracting those colors. Corporations take ownership. They create a chromatic language where we associate red, blue, and white with Staples and yellow, blue, and white with Visa. It almost becomes part of their identity, but colors aren't capturable. You know, we can use colors in any certain language, so I think that's what Lewis is trying to do. He's trying to extract those colors from a very singular reading and give them the play that they've always had in some ways, but that corporations are trying to infiltrate and resist.
And you just made me think, because the red in that Coca-Cola Lennon, that red obviously belongs to the former Soviet Union, but it also was a red in the original Coca-Cola sign.
Yeah.
Now I want to just turn and look at something that, and again I'm kind of free associating here, but here we have a map of the world, a flat map of the world, somewhat ethnocentric, by the way. And yet it's ethnocentric because I'm looking to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean as opposed to the middle of the Pacific Ocean, where the action is on a Saturday night these days. And here we have, it's almost like barcodes. The entire planet and the countries, like the old-fashioned maps, are colored. I don't see the British Empire here. But what's she doing with this striated color in this world map?
This is an artist named Christy Frields, and she's working with the barcode, or the universal price code, to be more specific, as the new found universal language. This has always been a goal, in some ways, more in the mercantile or capitalist tradition, of trying to find a language that economists around the world could speak to. But when she puts it and she actually barcodes the entire world, it's a very ominous feel. When you look at this, you have this sense of homogeneity or sameness, where the color and the texture of the world is peeking through with that color. I think that's why she chose this colored map, because the color to some degree gives countries the personality. But with this barcode, you kind of have this negotiation of two languages, where it's the globalization, the universal, versus the very particular and the very local. And it's the two ways, can they work together, can they not? Will the barcode eventually bleed out the color from these countries? It's a question she leaves open.
Okay, well, let's get local. We're in Winnipeg, and I'm in a contemporary art gallery. Is Winnipeg fertile territory for contemporary art?
We have two Winnipeg artists right behind you here, Paul Butler and Bonnie Marin, who are two of the best, but Winnipeg's an extremely exciting city. There's artists, very young artists, emerging artists, very established artists, and it has a very particular feel here. I think artists have... It's not the big cities like Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, but artists are developing a very unique character, and the work spans a lot of different areas, subjects, topics, but it's got this, there's this engagement, I feel, with materials and with the new and with the kind of the materials around them. That's why they fit very well into this show, because these artists are very involved in collage, which is a very prominent medium in Winnipeg. Artists kind of not dealing with the very expensive materials, dealing with the language of what's around them and trying to inject their own voice into that, you know, larger communication.
Okay, this is going to be my last question, but previously we talked about art in context and your role as a curator in creating the context in which you showcase the work. So Winnipeg's the context. What is in that context of Winnipeg that makes this such fertile ground for contemporary artists, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a good question. Some writers have called Winnipeg the town that conceptual art forgot. It's always had an engagement with the materials around it. If you look at Wanda Coop or Eleanor Bond or Don Riker, it's some of the most well-known artists coming out of Winnipeg. There's this engagement with paint and with material and kind of this physical engagement with whatever they're doing. And I think as a curator, I remember speaking to a mentor, and he said, as a curator, you're kind of assembling dinner parties in some ways. You're bringing artists to a table and allowing them to speak. So at Plugin, we try to invite the local people, what local artists are doing, and put that into context with an international art world. How are these artists relating? Are they speaking about similar things, different things? It's all about dialogue, I think, and that's what Winnipeg has been very good at. They've been good at bringing people in and having that international perspective to look outside themselves to see what the outside art world is doing and then integrate that and kind of channel it through with their own practices, what their own interests are.
Stephen, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.